Hello, welcome to your meditation practice as part of the Open Heart Project. My name is Susan Piver. I am delighted to continue our exploration of the seven qualities of the Dharmic person, and then to conclude with a guided 10-minute meditation. It's been a delight to explore these qualities with you. Today our topic is Dharmic quality number 6, propagating prajna, which we'll explore in a moment. There are links to the previous talks on previous qualities. You do not have to go back and listen to them unless you would like. But just for a short recap, the first quality of the Dharmic person was called passionlessness, which doesn't mean blasé-ness or I don't care-ness. It means that whatever happens, you roll with it. Not so easy to do. The second quality is called contentment, which doesn't mean everything's cool, because sometimes everything is really not cool. But whatever arises in your life, you find also a way to be with it, to accept it. Not so easy. I'll just say that again. The third quality is called fewer activities, which means you just kind of naturally want less BS in your life, less busyness for its own sake, less non-essential activities, because through our practice we see what's important and we naturally want to focus on that. The fourth quality of the Dharmic person is called good conduct, which doesn't mean being a goody-goody. It means that you bring your mindfulness and awareness into your life where you don't know what's going to happen, especially right now. So much uncertainty, so much difficulty predicting how things are going to go. Not easy. I'll just say that again. But this Dharmic quality enables you not to feel fine about that, because it's really hard, but to pay attention and to show up and to remain awake, even during very difficult times, which this is. The fifth quality of the Dharmic person is called awareness of the teacher, which doesn't mean me, by the way, although I appreciate your awareness. It means perhaps even more than awareness of the teacher, because most of us don't have the good fortune to study directly with a teacher. Awareness of the teachings, awareness of teachers that you do encounter through books you read or videos you watch or talks you listen to or friends or enemies who teach you something by their actions. Some sense of appreciation for the sacredness of learning and appreciation for the truth that there is genuine wisdom out there. And when we encounter it, whether someone else is saying it to us or it arises in our own mind or we read it in a book, we can be aware that there's a teacher present, no matter what form they take. Now, before we get to the sixth quality, I want to remind you that these seven qualities are not things that you have to try to crank up. In fact, that would be counterproductive. Rather, they are things that when you reflect on how things may be changing as your practice takes root, you see that these qualities arise on their own. So that, to me, is quite heartening. I don't have to try. Although I do, and we all do, but there's some sense that these practices are, these cookies are already in the oven, and they're being baked by our practice. The best we can do to invite them closer is to notice them when they actually arise. So to pay attention to these qualities is instructive. So the sixth quality, propagating prajna. Propagating, you know what that means. Hello, kitty cat. Prajna is Sanskrit for wisdom, so propagating wisdom. Now here, this does not mean propagating beliefs. Although if you have beliefs that you've investigated and you're like, yeah, these beliefs are my beliefs, that's great. But here, in this particular view, it could be said, hello, little sweetie pie, that beliefs are considered obstacles in a certain sense, because when we go into the situations of our life leading with our beliefs, which is entirely adorable, usually what we see, or often, speaking for myself, I see through the lens of my beliefs rather than seeing what is. Prajna here also does not necessarily refer to knowledge, although knowledge is great, and the more we can acquire, the better. Here, prajna has less to do with knowledge that you might acquire or belief systems that you may be invested in. Both of those things are totally fine. But it actually has more to do with not knowing than knowing. In other words, propagating prajna means propagating curiosity and wakefulness and being willing to attend to the present moment. You're a very sweet cat. It's hard to attend to the present moment when we think we know what is happening already in the present moment, when we think we know what it means already. It's harder to pay attention to what is, and easier when we pay attention to what we think about what is. So propagating prajna also means, this is really important, and this is really hard to do. I think I'm saying hard to do a lot in this talk. Not taking anything at face value. Nothing that anyone says to you. If you've been a member of the Open Heart Project for a while, you may have heard me say before, don't take my word for anything. Investigate yourself. And I'm not saying that to be humble. I'm saying that because that's what propagating prajna is. Don't take my word for anything. Don't take anyone's word for anything. Investigate with your own intelligence. You could start with investigating your own mind. That's what we're doing in meditation practice, in a sense. What are these thoughts? Where do they come from? Where do they go? Those are really trippy questions and really important questions. So for you to discover for yourself, what is the nature of your mind? Well, that's the whole journey in one sense. But we could start with things that are maybe a little smaller, like someone tells you their ideas about something. And you might be like, oh, that sounds right. I guess it must be true. Just stick with that sounds right. And then investigate, is it true? We live in a world, I don't have to tell you, of vast misinformation and tremendous entities competing to fill our minds with that misinformation. And some of it sounds right to us and some of it doesn't, and so on. Yeah, we got to make our way through this world that is constantly pelting us with information and factoids. But propagating prajna means checking it to the nth degree. You should find out what is true to the best of your ability. We've all grown up, I'm quite sure, with people telling us who we are. And beyond who we are, who we should be. And beyond who we are and who we should be, how life should go. What constitutes happiness? What makes you a good person or a bad person? Everything you've been taught may be true. Doesn't matter. You have to investigate it yourself to discover if it is. So propagating prajna is a big one. They're all pretty big, but it means you're on your own, but you have a great ally with you at all times. And that ally is called your own intelligence, your own wisdom. At the root of propagating prajna is trust in your own wisdom, your own knowing. It doesn't mean, oh, I'm a know-it-all. That would be not propagating prajna. It means I trust myself to see clearly. I trust myself to know something when it is knowable. I trust my intuition. I trust my journey through this life. So yes, we are all on our own here. But the real teacher is your own mind, your own wisdom. Don't take my word for that. You must check it out for yourself and see. Everything must be verified by you. So on one hand, it's quite daunting, but on another, it's quite liberating because you are the boss of you. And the whole journey is completely open. You can be thoughtful and creative and inspired. And I would say joyful at the possibility of making your way along the spiritual path with the support of teachers, of course, with the support of teachings, with the support of Sangha, of community. Those things are extremely important, vital. In fact, in Buddhism, those are called the three jewels. The Buddha, the teacher, in other words, the Dharma, the teachings, and the Sangha, the community. These are the things that light our way on the journey. Buddha, Dharma, Sangha. This is not something I'm making up. This is the Buddhist view, but nobody has to be a Buddhist to recognize that in order to propagate prajna, I need a teacher in some form, in some time, in some moments. I need to find teachings that really speak to me and clarify things for me so that I don't have to reinvent the wisdom wheel in every moment. And most important, it turns out, I need friends. I need a community of fellow travelers who I can turn to for support and or irritation, whichever one is going to wake me up most directly. So we are a Sangha. We are friends in this conversation, even though we're not actually together. Our minds are meeting. We're exploring these same topics together. So anyway, that's a little far afield, but propagating prajna, propagating wisdom, just to summarize very briefly, means relying more on curiosity than certainty. Cultivating some sort of awareness or connection to teachers, as they may arise in your life, teachings that really speak to you from whatever tradition or art form or whatever speaks to you, and friends. A community of support. Fellow travelers. These three support us to propagate prajna. So I guess I'll stop there. That's the sixth quality of the dharmic person. We will come to number seven, attitude of goodness. So stick around, and as always, please let me know what you think and what you would like to learn about. I would be so happy to help. So thank you for listening, and let's practice. So the practice actually is where the seven qualities take root. So please join me. Begin, please, by establishing your posture, which means to sit up straight, or your version of straight. If you have back pain or neck pain, just do your best. The legs are crossed loosely in front of you, or your feet are flat on the floor if you're sitting on a chair or the couch. The hands rest on the legs, palms down, and they can just rest. There's nothing for them to do or achieve, or they can just take their ease. Feel the strength of your back body, which allows your front body to be very soft. So let your belly relax a lot. The area around your heart can soften, and your throat. And let your shoulders relax down the back. The chin is tucked a little bit, so the back of the neck is long. And the mouth is closed, but the lips and teeth can be slightly parted. And you can really relax all the muscles of speech, because you don't need them, because you don't have to talk. So let the tongue relax, and the jaw, and the muscles of the throat can soften. The breath is natural, in and out through the nose, just regular breathing. And the eyes are open, and the gaze is cast down to a comfortable spot in front, given the distance of your screen and so forth. But just let the eyes rest, rather than grab. Let the whole visual field in from end to end. And let the brow relax. Now let your attention rest on the breath, which means to feel the breath rather than observe the breath, a very subtle but important difference. Feel the gentle expansion on the inhale and the dissolve of the exhale. The next inhale will just happen. So begin again, feeling this in-breath and this out-breath. The mind will continue to make thoughts. That's what it does, like the eyes see or the ears hear, and they don't have off switches particularly. So it's no problem. Most of your thoughts will just come and go. You don't have to do anything about those thoughts. They don't really distract you from your breath, maybe for a millisecond, no problem. Only if you notice that you are completely absorbed in thought, to the point where you are no longer aware of your breath at all, do you want to intercede. So first, yay, you just woke up, so it's not a bad thing at all. In fact, it's a good thing. So notice that. Label that moment thinking. It's not meditating, it's thinking. Let go. Doesn't matter if the thought is brilliant or silly or angry or happy, doesn't matter. Just let go. Gently come back to the breath and begin again with this inhale and this exhale. So this is our practice, and we'll sit together in silence until you hear the bell. Thank you so much for your practice. It's important. Thank you for practicing with me. That's important to me. I feel it. And thank you so much for practicing together. Until next time.